Hi there. My name is Kelsey, and this is Souls Searched, which is a diary of sorts where I discuss my dating experiences and hopefully learn something from it. Hopefully you can learn something too. I hope at the very least it's entertaining. So today we will be talking about Travis? Is that right? You know, I was kind of confident going into this outline for this episode, and I was like, yeah, his name's Travis. But now that I'm saying it, I'm thinking it might not be his name. So, obviously it was in a very serious relationship because I can't even remember his name properly right now. Yeah, his name is Travis for this episode. It might not be his real name. And Travis, or whatever your name is, if you end up stumbling upon this episode, I am sorry right off the bat for not knowing your name. But yeah, let's get into it. Age. I think he was like 23 or 24 at the time when I met him. I was 20. This was right before I turned 21. So he must be like 30 by now. Where, when, how did we meet? We met at a call center that we were both working at. I was training in the shared workspace environment. And when I went in there, you know, he was like one of the first people I noticed. He had, you know, was doing like a standing desk thing, so he was like above everybody else. And, you know, he just really stood out to me. He had this really, really nice blue eyes, you know, blonde hair, very good looking guy. You know, he's just like, in pretty good shape. And I just thought he was very, very attractive. He also had a really nice voice, which for me is like a big thing. Like having a very pleasing voice to listen to is always a huge bonus for me. And so, yeah, he just had like a great phone voice. He was very attractive. Turns out later he's very, very sweet. But yeah, you know, just my initial impression of him was, oh boy, who's that hunk, you know, over in that department? And so like while I was training, you know, I would come in and out of the, you know, the shared space environment. And, yeah, you know, I would take a look at him and, you know, just kind of like sneak a peek and things like that. And it took me a while to kind of like work up get the gusto to talk to him. And it was kind of funny, like in a funny twist of fate, I ended up getting assigned to his department. So we had cubicles right next to each other and we were right across from each other. So like we were staring at each other like pretty much all day. And so I think that certainly had something to do with it. we'd be typing and on phone calls all day. And like when we would have like especially long phone calls, we would like, you know, pull our headset to the side and like chat for a minute. And, you know, and he used to do this thing, like my hands would get so like cramped up and messed up after like typing all day. He would give me a hand massage, which was really sweet. He brought in like this like really nice like scented lotion, and he was like, give me your hand. And so he would like massage like my hand up into like my arm. Like it was really nice and very sensual. I'm sure was pressing all the boundaries of what was appropriate in the workplace. You know, it's like just sensual enough where it was like probably uncomfortable, if not incredibly inappropriate. So I'm sure it made people uncomfortable. But yeah, you know, he would like give me these hand, wrist, and like, you know, arm massages, and they were just so divine. Oh my God. You know, and he's just very romantic, sensual guy. Dates we went on, You know, a lot of the interactions that we had were like, we would have like phone conversations or like Skype conversations, even though we worked together. So like outside of work, we would really just have these like late night phone conversations. And like before we'd get like up for, or before we'd like get ready to go to work, we would talk a little bit on the phone. And we worked really weird hours. I think I started at something at like 4 a.m. or something. So we were both night owls. And so we would sit and chat on the phone and, you know, just have these really nice, like deep conversations about all sorts of stuff. Yeah, you know, even though it was pretty short lived, it was only like, you know, December to February or maybe March, before I started, seeing someone else. You know, I think we only went on one date, and I'm trying to think if we actually went on the date. So it's not much of a relationship, but it was a certainly a courtship, right? So for the date, we were supposed to go somewhere. I want to say it was Applebee's or like maybe Buffalo Wild Wings. I want to say it was Applebee's. So he comes and picks me up at my place, and he so I get in the car and I sit down in the seat, and he was like, okay, don't freak out. And I was like, oh God, what? And he was like, I lost my snake. And I was like, what? You know, I was like, what are you talking about? There's a snake in here. He's like, yeah, she's just like a little, like she's a little corn snake. Like she's not going to hurt you. You know, he was like, she's super sweet little snake. And he was like, oh, she's just a little baby. She's not going to bite you. And, so yeah, he was like, oh, it'll be fine. You'll be fine. And I was just like, oh my God. And I'm like terrified of snakes. So I immediately jump out of his car and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And he was like looking around, you know, he's like, just like, be cool, be chill, be cool. And, so he opens up the middle console and the snake's in there, and he's like, see? And so he scoops her up real gentle, puts her in his pocket, and he's like, so I found a snake, but now I gotta go home to bring her back, right? And he lived close by. So he was like, I'm gonna go home real quick, and drop my snake off, which sounds like a euphemism for something. But he's like, I'm gonna go home real quick, I'm gonna drop my snake off. Why don't we reschedule and, you know, we'll pick this up in like an hour. I was like, okay, fine. So he comes back, and then we go out to eat, and we chat for a bit, and it was just so funny. It was just such a funny way to start out the date. Yeah, anytime someone gets in your car and you're like, don't freak out, you know, that usually the mindset is not a positive one, like, oh, great, he's going to kill me, or he's got a gun, or like something like that. But in this case, it was a snake, was loose in his car. You know, he did try to like, you know, get me comfortable and was like, oh, do you want to pet her? You know, like he was being really sweet. And I was just like, no, get that thing away from me. I don't think he liked that very much. So we went on the date and it was good. You know, we just chatted a bit and had some really good conversation. So yeah, that was like the only date we went on, and it was like snake blocked. but we did eventually have the date. But yeah, like I said, a lot of the interactions we had were like, revolving around work, or like, you know, we'd see each other a lot at work. But you know, we didn't go on a ton of like formal dates. We just kind of were getting to know each other. Good stuff. He was very romantic. For Valentine's Day, he, before I got to work, he got in early and he left this little like glass swan with roses coming out of it, on my desk. And I thought it was so sweet. And, So he like left that for me. And again, like he's a very sensual guy. You know, he's like, give me the hand massages. And, you know, we would just like chat and giggle and just like, you know, flirt, you know, at work, which again is like so inappropriate. but, you know, we were working at a call center. I don't think people really cared much. Huge, huge animal lover. He actually had a, he had a service dog. I can't remember her name, but he had a form of epilepsy. So she was like a seizure alert dog. And she was just the sweetest pup. Oh, she was so cute. I don't remember what kind of breed she was. She was some kind of, you know, like German Shepherd mix, I think. She was just such a cute dog. And of course she was working and stuff, but you know, when I would leave for lunch and stuff, I would like go and scratch her head a little bit and, you know, give her a little love. And, so yeah, you know, he was just like, but he didn't let it hold him down or anything like that. He was like, you know, he worked really hard. I think he worked multiple jobs, in fact. And, you know, so he was just like knocking it out and just very ambitious guy, really, really hard worker. We had a lot of really good conversation and, you know, it was just really fun. He was a nice thing to look at, a nice thing to talk to, a nice person to talk to. That was a weird way to say it. He was a nice person to chat with and to be around. And, you know, he was fun to look at. you know, weird stuff. Okay. he lived with his ex, which I can't even talk shit. I've done that many times. But he lived with his ex, so we couldn't ever go over to his place to hang out. And again, we didn't really ever hang out outside of work anyway, but we would mostly just talk on the phone and stuff. Things never really advanced to that. But yeah, there was like a lot of drama with his ex. Like he was like trying to kick her out and like it wasn't working. So when we would talk on the phone, it was kind of like, vent sessions, mostly for him, where he would just tell me, you know, like how weird the situation was and how he was like trying to get rid of his ex. Like that was living in his house and it was just this weird thing. So yeah, that's a bit of a weird thing. He did have some health issues again. You know, he did have, you know, like the epilepsy and he had some mental health stuff. So he was super sweet guy, but just very, he struggled with a lot of things. And I think that, I didn't want to feel like I was taking on like a caretaker role, with him. And I think it would have been really hard for me to like kind of separate that, because he had so many things going on. And my natural inclination is to like want to care for my partners. And I think at the time I wasn't really looking to be that, at that point. Not that he necessarily needed it, you know, he was more than capable of, you know, taking care of himself and, you know, doing his own thing. But I think that was like kind of a concern, like, especially with the mental health stuff. You know, he really struggled with that. And I wasn't prepared to be with a partner that was struggling with the mental health issues that he was. Yeah. And I wish I had, you know, he was a really sweet guy. I didn't really know, how to support him and how to be there for him and open up that dialogue. Like, this was pretty early on in my like dating experience. So I just felt so unprepared, on, you know, the real, issues that kind of come up with dating someone with like, emotional, physical, mental issues, that he was experiencing. And they were pretty severe, things. And I think I just didn't really know. I wasn't prepared to be able to, you know, have that dynamic, and, you know, be able to be as supportive as I could have been. Although, you know, now that I've had more experience and have kind of a deeper understanding of what that might be like, you know, especially with some recent health issues I've been having, you know, I think if I would have just been supportive and, you know, listened more and was able to, you know, be there for him, I think it would have been fine. It was just in my own head. I was thinking like, oh, I don't know what to do with this guy. Which was you know, immature a mindset to have. Hidden snakes, that's another thing. You know, like when you go on a date with someone, you don't expect there to be a loose animal in their car. So that's a little weird, but it was funny. You know, it was a funny situation. And we still had the date, so it all worked out. You know, there was also some like bedroom stuff that I don't think I would have been down for. You know, and it never got to that point, but you know, we dabbled. We talked about it a little. You know, and he said things that he was interested in, and at the time I was like, "Oh, I'm not interested in that." And I do kind of wish I would have been a little or more open-minded, cuz I think I could have, you know, maybe it would have been something I liked. I don't know. You know, could have been. Yeah, so that was, like, another thing where I was like, oh, this guy, like, you know, he's got drama with his ex, he's got all these, you know, issues, and, you know, I don't know what to do with him, and then, like, even if we did get to that point where the physical stuff came in, then what, you know? So I was just very overwhelmed by a lot of things, and just a lot of things coming together. Even though he was a perfectly nice guy, I just didn't really know how to go about it. Yeah, so that's kind of, I got, I think, a little too in my head about it, and talked myself out of pursuing things with him. Lessons learned, be more open-minded, especially in the bedroom. You know, I've since kind of changed my attitude, and, you know, I always say, I won't lead anywhere when it comes to sex stuff, but I'll follow. You know, like, I don't have anything I think is particularly weird, but like, I'll dabble. I'll try something. You know, if it's not for me, whatever. But, you know, I was a lot more of a prude back then, and was a little less open-minded and had a very set idea on things I liked and didn't like, which is so close-minded. But, you know, I don't have that attitude anymore. I'm way more, you know, open-minded, way more communicative of things that I like, and have had more time to explore that. Yeah, and then also just like more of an open dialogue, and I think we could have definitely benefited from more communication on a deeper level, you know, in terms of the mental health that he struggled with, and, you know, the insecurities or inadequacies that I was feeling. You know, I think we really could have, in different circumstances, I think that would have helped, even if things never really escalated. Repeated mistakes. I gave another dude my address. So this is like probably like the third story in a row that I'm telling, like where I'm just like tell people where I live and it's cool. Like, I don't know why I was like so like not thinking that I should not be doing that. Like, this was a guy that I worked with, but he could have been fucking nuts. Like, he could have showed up at my place and done crazy stuff, and he didn't, luckily. But like, you know, and even when things like didn't, like, we just kind of didn't work out, but like, I started dating a different coworker that I ended up being on and off with for years. But, you know, like, he could have done some crazy shit. You know, he knew where I lived, he knew where I worked, and, you know, I should have been a little more, like, discerning, I guess, with, like, that information I was providing. But, like, at that time in my life, I was like, whatever, it's cool. And, like, didn't think about, like, the consequences of, you know, people knowing where I live. So, yeah. Like, you know, if you're going on a first date with someone that you barely know, like, meet in public. Make sure there are no snakes. You know, just normal first date stuff. And then also dating a coworker. It's such a bad idea, like, for so many reasons. And, like, yeah. That's just such a bad idea. And, you know, we worked in the same department, we were right next to each other, and like, things were fine. I ended up like getting a different job, like, eventually anyway, so it was whatever. But like, he was cool about it, but if he wanted to, I'm sure he could have made things pretty miserable for me, since we were like working in the same space in the same department. You know, he could have very easily made it really uncomfortable for me. Would I date him again? Probably not. Again, like, we didn't really get into anything, so I don't feel like I really have a great sense of who he is. yeah, he, again, you know, I was just very intimidated by a lot of things, and I think I would be more open-minded to it now. But just kind of with the ex drama and some, you know, underlying mental health issues that he had been having, you know, I don't even know his name. So those are just like not great foundations for a relationship. And I think ultimately, you know, we just probably wouldn't have been a great match. You know, the more I've known or discovered about myself, the more I'm like, yeah, we probably wouldn't have been a super great match for each other, beyond just the physical attraction I was having with him. Thank yous. Thank you for the flowers. That was a really sweet thing, that you did. Thank you for the hand massages. Oh my God. Thank you for those. Like I still think about those to this day. Like I would love to have a partner that just gives me hand massages after I've had a long day at work. Like that is such a like dreamboat thing that you did. And I still think about that, you know, like, oh God, someone please massage my hands. Like in a not weird sexual way. Just someone please, my hands hurt so much from typing all day, especially when I'm working from home. The late night conversations, those are really nice, you know, to be able to just talk about all sorts of stuff. Thank you for being a good listener. I'm sure I had plenty that, you know, I'm kind of a chatterbox. So it was nice to have someone that listened and, you know, to be able to listen to someone too and just kind of connect on that level was really nice. Thank you for warning me about the loose snake in your car. I think if we were in the car and like a snake had crawled on me, I probably would have just like dipped. Like I probably just would have opened the door and just like fallen out of your car if it was moving. Like I would have fucking lost it. So I'm glad that he warned me for one, like before I like got in and got settled in this car. And then also like, thank you for going home and bringing the snake home. So I didn't have to like go on a date with a guy that had a snake in his pocket. I know that they're very like temperature sensitive animals and it was kind of cold that night, but I think if it was warmer, he might have like brought the snake with him and I would have just been so mortified, especially if it like got out in the restaurant or something. So yeah, I appreciate that he like for one thought like, oh, she might not be down for this. I should warn her and then also bring the snake home. Actually thinking about it, he might not have brought the snake home. He might have just had the snake in his pocket the whole time. That sounds like a euphemism. I promise it's not. I mean like a legit, like a snake, like a slithery. Yeah. Like a snake. Things I'm sorry for. I'm sorry for freaking out about the snake and refusing to pet it. I'm sure it was a fine enough snake baby. You know, she looked like a real, real pretty thing. I just was so freaked out. I've never pet one in my life. One of these days I'll work up to it, but I just get so wigged out. Like they look slimy, but they're not. Like they got the weird scales. I don't know. I can't deal with it. Reptiles in general, it's one of the reasons I hate living in Dallas is because we have freaking geckos and lizards and stuff. And I just lose my mind. So it turns out I hate, slithery reptiles and stuff. And I'm sorry I wasn't more open-minded. You know, that could have been something we could have explored and I could have seen if that was something I did like or didn't like. And I should have been more communicative of, you know, things I was feeling and like inadequacies I was feeling. And I think that you deserve that as much instead of me just like starting to date another coworker and then just like leaving you in the dark. Like that was not cool. You know, it's not something I try to do anymore, but, yeah, you deserve more than that. So yeah, this is a short one, but, I hope you guys at least enjoyed. Hopefully you learned something and thanks for listening. Have a great day. Bye.